This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Good Saturday, Super Bowl morning to you, everyone, and welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan, Matty Harkins, is behind the glass. He'll be taking your calls and putting you on if you want to talk anything on our list today. And we have a lot on our list today. It's going to be a beautiful weekend in terms of temperature, maybe some rain in there, but man, some of these temperatures are getting up there where, you know, we're already into February and March. We're going to get no snow again, hardly any snow again, which is okay. Except for those of you who love to ski, I get it. I feel your pain. Our show is brought to you by the good people of PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one Cochrane shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Ireland Contracting. You want great roofs? Go to Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Also, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, where they got your back, not your wallet. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.com. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. All right, where's your money on Super Bowl 58? Is it on the Chiefs or would it be on the 49ers? I'm going for the 49ers. I just got a feeling this team is healthy, and when they play the way they're capable of playing, I know it puts a lot of pressure on Brock Purdy. But you know, Brock Purdy, he takes kind of a bad rap here. Because a lot of people are looking at him and saying, well, he's not Patrick Mahomes. Well, he's a system quarterback. Well, this, well, that. Well, if you go back and compare Brock Purdy's regular season to some of the best, and this would include Joe Montana and Steve Young, and strictly numbers, which, of course, strictly numbers should matter. You know, ask TJ Watt that. They matter. We'll get into that in a second. But Brock Purdy this year had 4,200 passing yards, 31 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and a passer rating of 113. When you look at 1994 Steve Young's regular season, he had 3,900 yards. That's 300 less than Purdy. He had 35 touchdowns. That's four more than Purdy, and he had the same amount of interceptions with a lesser passer rating. Brock Purdy is the quarterback of the 49ers, and he's a pretty darn good one. And he seems to, you know, be stuck in this conversation. You're a systems quarterback. When you're a seventh-round pick, Mr. Irrelevant, people expect you to keep doing it and prove it day after day after day after day after year, which is fine, and he has an opportunity on a big stage. I think his support cast is terrific. Christian McCaffrey, with his ability to do everything in the pass game and the run game, he was the offensive player of the year, and I thought that was the right call. He's got two really good people on the outside, and Ayuk and Samuel. He's got a great tight end in Kittle. He's got an unbelievable fullback in Juszczyk and a good defense. Now, on the other side of it, you're dealing with Patrick Mahomes, and the dude's already a Hall of Famer. I mean, there's no doubt about it. If you look at his last six playoff games, you know, he's 6-0, 11 touchdowns, and zero interceptions. You can't get any better than that, really. He's 14-3 all time in his career in playoff starts, and with a win here today, he will join Tom Brady, Joe Montana, as the only two to have 15 wins and basically over a 112 passer rating in those games. So, I mean, the guy's, he's not even 30 years old. So it's a daunting assignment. Kansas City's defense is better than what most people think. So it should be very interesting. And we got it for you on KDKA TV. It's your home of Super Bowl 58. We have a lot of prop bets I want to get into a little bit later. Jim Colony touched on some of them. Most of them involve Taylor Swift, but there's some other interesting ones, and I'm wondering what you would do with some of these bets. Now let's get to the TJ Watt snub, because I don't know how you're supposed to vote on this stuff other than with hard, cold facts. We're in a metric society, which to me means you are dealing with things that don't necessarily exist but could exist. In other words, pressure rate. What is pressure rate? You know, I understand why people think it's important and how you, you know, you start grading people in the metric formula that a lot of these organizations use. And listen, it's a deep dive. It is. It's good. It tells you a lot. But it doesn't tell you the ultimate number that you're trying to get after, which are hardcore stats. TJ Watt had an amazing season. He was better statistically in almost every category than Myles Garrett, who's a very good player. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But TJ Watt did everything he was supposed to do. In some of these metrics, they tell you that, well, Myles Garrett had to deal with double and triple teams. You're telling me TJ Watt didn't? You're telling me he didn't? Yes, he did. It made life a lot easier for Alex Highsmith. But yet he still put up the kind of numbers he was supposed to put up. All right? And then you look at, to me, the biggest sign that TJ Watt is your defensive player of the year is how he finished the year versus how Myles Garrett finished the year. We talked about this past week, Monday here when I was here, or whatever day I was on the Cook and Joe show, that, you know, Myles Garrett had one sack in his final six games. That's it. He had no forced fumbles. He had no fumble recoveries. TJ Watt went on a binge with seven tackles, 13 quarterback pressures, down the stretch that got them into the playoffs. Cleveland got in, and they got immediately eliminated. And guess what? Houston's defense made him a non-story because Myles Garrett did nothing in that game. I'm just saying, I don't know what you're supposed to base this on other than the statistical evidence. The statistical evidence is heavily in favor of TJ Watt. And I say that knowing that people are going to call and say, oh, you're from Pittsburgh, you got this view. That no, I'm looking at it strictly from what I see. Like, the other thing that struck me is, and by the way, I'm so happy for Cam Hayward. Nobody deserves this Walter Payton Man of the Year more than Cam Hayward. You see what he does day to day. And, you know, he and Sidney Crosby in a rarefied air of just all-time greats. And I'm not even talking about their on-the-field contribution. I'm talking about what they do for a city that they come into and inherit as their own. So, you know, the bottom line there is kudos to Cam Hayward. He deserved it. But, you know, a lot of debate about DeMar Hamlin. And listen, it's an award. DeMar Hamlin has overcome the ultimate adversity, which is almost dying on the field. And for me, that's enough to do it. I get that he didn't play. I get he's not a regular. I get that probably he shouldn't have even been on a roster. But, you know, Buffalo saw through the entire, you know, rehab of his heart situation and what happened to him. He was on it, very limited play. I understand why there should be a component about playing. I get it. But I think this was an extenuating circumstance that was different, that the man nearly died. In fact, many thought he was dead. And they go through an extensive process just to get back. So when you talk about comebacks, I don't think it's a bigger comeback. Although I will understand if those of you think he didn't do it on the field, why he shouldn't have gotten it. It went to Joe Flacco. If I'm going to base it on field, I'd go to Baker Mayfield, not Joe Flacco. So that's just me. 412-928-9370 is the number. Again, 412-928-9370. Also talking about the Penguins. I want to get into this because points are precious, and they had potentially some available last night, and they got none. 3-2 Minnesota win. Marc-Andre Fleury, 1,000 games. And on this particular night, it's very interesting how it worked out because when you think of you know, the Penguin contingent that was there, they gave a beautiful painting that Cody Sable, who's one of my favorite people in Pittsburgh, great painter, speed painter, did for a commemorative look at Marc-Andre Fleury's career. Crosby presented it to him pregame in the locker room. Sidney Crosby got a goal against Marc-Andre Fleury. That's awesome. And it just so happened to move him past Mark Recchi. All that on one goal in one game. Who would have thought? That's what makes it pretty interesting. But the Penguins gave everything they could late in the game to try to force the tying goal, but they find themselves in that position quite a bit. They're always trying to pull a goalie and get an extra shot to force overtime and then probably lose. an overtime point. I thought they played a good game last night, but I thought Marc-Andre Fleury and his teammates blocked a lot of shots. They were into it. 3-2 your final score. There was a debate. And this is one of the things that is really difficult for me with replay. It took 7 minutes and 13 seconds last night to look at a replay. Normally, when it goes that long, the call on the ice should stand, which it did. But they don't have cameras everywhere. And this was a very unusual challenge by the Penguins. By the way, Madison and CJ, their Pens video coaches, do a wonderful job at this. They're really on top of a lot of things. So a puck apparently went up over the glass into the netting. You couldn't tell. The Penguin players, every one of them on the ice seemed to indicate that it was over the netting, into the netting. Anyway, nothing was called. Play continued. They end up getting a goal by Kirill Kaprizov to be the game winner. So the Penguins challenged that, which is a hard challenge because there are not many video replay angles that show this conclusively. It went off for 7 minutes and 13 seconds, which is far too long, and they eventually said, nope, it didn't, because it was inconclusive. That was one that I don't know how you saw. I don't know how you can challenge it, knowing that there are not many cameras that will confirm or deny that. So, but anyway, they lose the game, and now they got to go to Winnipeg, a team which they beat here last week. Winnipeg's a good team at home. Penguins need points. They're still in out of the playoff picture, and they're 5 points out of the second wild card. Time is ticking. They got a lot of games coming up. Points, points, points. They got issues. They can't score outside of the main people on that front line. That's about it. Ricard Raquel needs to do more, and if you're going to do it, you better put him in positions to do it, because that could be a wasted contract, knowing that Jake Gensel is still without one. 412-928-9370. We're going to take a break. We got Dave. Hang on, Dave. You're going to be first up when we come back. And the lines are open for you. Again, 412-928-9370 is the number. You can hit me up on Twitter at KD Pomp. We continue till 1 o'clock. We're right here on the Bob Pompiani program on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Super Bowl 58 tomorrow on KDKA TV all day, pregame, postgame, the game, halftime show, which is a little bit interesting to me in the way that it's evolved. Tomorrow's halftime is supposed to be 49 minutes long. You're trying to determine who's the best two teams, and yet you give them an hour in between halves. It seems it's getting longer and longer. I get it. I understand why. It's why they charge $5,000 for tickets and everything else. But, man, it's going to drag a little bit in terms of if you're a player, you want to get out there and play again. It's normally 12 minutes, to put it in perspective. This one's expected to be 49 minutes. 412-928-9370 is the number. Bob Pompiani with you until 1 o'clock today, and Paul Alexander follows. Let's go out to Dave in Moon Township, our first caller. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm well. What's up?
Well, since you're the only person in this town that has an interest in the NBA talk show-wise, I figured I'd call you with this question.
Well, Mueller likes it, too. Both Mueller and Pony like it, too. I love talking about it, though, because I don't think it's talked about enough.
I totally agree with you. I'm a Celtics fan, so for that and other reasons, I'm not a LeBron James fan. Okay. My question is about his son, Bronny, okay, who I have nothing against. I know he had a heart incident this summer. I'm glad he's doing good. You know who Brian Windhorst is, I was saying.
Yeah, from ESPN, yes.
Yeah, I think he does an excellent job. Okay, the other day he was talking about, well, the Lakers might not get to draft Bronny if they finish in the lottery because the Pelicans can take their pick. The last time I checked, Bronny James was averaging 5.6 points a game for a team, a USC, that is not very good at all. I have nothing against the kid. But this is why people get turned off by pro athletes, because LeBron James is going to say, oh, you got to draft him if I'm going to stay here, or I'm going to go to another team. The kid's performance does not justify drafting him. If his name wasn't Bronny James, no one would be paying any attention to him.
Totally agree. He also makes $7 million in NIL money. Because he's
LeBron. Oh, I didn't know that was what it was. Well, good for him. I don't begrudge him.
Well, first of all, I have a problem with the way this NIL is going. It's making it impossible. A lot of these coaches are leaving because they don't want to deal with it. You could tell me all about change, change, change. I get it. Things evolve. But this was going from zero all the way to this kind of money, and it's only going to get worse if they don't step in and do something about it. You can defend athletes getting paid all you want, and I would agree. But when it gets to this point, you're now telling me there's only a handful of schools with deep-pocketed boosters who are able to do this. And it doesn't seem right. It doesn't feel right to me.
No, I hear you there. But these coaches are okay when they break contracts.
I know. I've heard all that.
I'm not saying it isn't out of control. But the coaches are selfish, too. They want it all their way. And it's about time that the kids got more than a scholarship when they're bringing in millions. I'm a Penn Stater, okay? You're bringing in 100,000 people per game. You know, you're bringing in a ton of money to Penn State. I don't have a problem with those kids getting whatever they can get.
And I'm not debating that, but ask some offensive linemen who I've talked to about what they get versus what the star player gets. If you're going to do
I hear you there, but running backs don't get paid as much as wide receivers or cornerbacks. Do I think that's fair? Not necessarily, but it's the way it is.
No, and, I get
you know.
Listen, as far as he is concerned, I agree with you, Dave. I don't think this is, reminds me of the LaMelo Ball and the Ball family, and how all of them, you know, same thing. That you know, the squeaky door gets the oil. You know, the dad kept just mouthing off, and next thing you know, but they're not that great, to be honest with you. Maybe LaMelo is, but the rest of them aren't, to me.
You're totally right. Well, I appreciate you taking my call.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Trae Young, we don't talk often about this, but I'm a big fan of Trae Young, and if you're not, in Atlanta, you know, he was here once when March Madness came to PPG Paints Arena. And watching him play was pretty remarkable, to be honest. And now in Atlanta, not a very good team. If you look at what he's done in his first 400 games, he had another 30-point 10-assist game last night. And he's one of the best no-look passers going. He is now right behind only one person with the most 30-point 10-assist games in history through 400 games, and that would be Oscar Robertson. That's it. He needs to go to a team that actually can maybe win something, or they need to do a better job of supporting him with people around him. By the way, one of my favorite stories, we did this on KDK. Craig McConnell, our producer, went out and spoke with the Watson family of South Fayette. And I think this is a remarkable story. Justin Watson, who is from Bridgeville, remember covering him when they won a WPIO championship at South Fayette for Joe Rossi, and then he won a state championship. He goes on. He wasn't heavily recruited out of high school at all. Ends up in the Ivy League. He wins a couple of Ivy League championships with Penn and had a big role in that. He was eventually drafted by Tampa Bay. 2 years later, they bring in Tom Brady. He's part of that team. He gets a Super Bowl ring. They move on from him. He goes to Kansas City. Last year, he gets another Super Bowl ring. And guess what? He's back for more. This would be his third Super Bowl ring in 3 years, giving him 7 total rings before the age of 30. And I count the WPIAL ring, the PIAA ring, and the 2 Ivy League rings. They're all rings. The dude is a ringmaster. Justin Watson, and that's an interesting thing to watch tomorrow for Kansas City, although he hasn't really put up the numbers. It's more Rasheed Rice right now. Let's go out to the counselor who joins us on the cell here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, counselor.
Hi, Bob. Just wanted to point out that the Penguins, their power play constantly is trying to look for the tic-tac-toe play, and it's just not – goals aren't scored in that way on a consistent enough basis. It's called the, you know, greasy goal, whatever you want to do it. I was happy to see Jeff Carter out in front of the net.
Yes.
On that one. And then I think that's a great role for him. You know, he doesn't have the speed he used to. So, but you know, I think he has the hands.
And the reach,
you know,
in that Winnipeg game, the reach. Yeah. And they had a 6-on-4 at the end of the game when they pulled a goalie. He should have been out there. I don't think he was. I think it was Rust and Gensel and Crosby and Malkin and then Letang and Carlson. Listen, they put a lot of pressure on. But again, trying to work for the perfect lane is not going to work necessarily. Get it on there and then crash it and see what happens.
Yeah. And see if I would get a rebound. The other thing I was going to point out is this. I don't think Ryan Tannehill answer unless they really don't think they can sign Mason Rudolph. Granted, he'd be a nice training thing, but what happens when Pickett gets hurt? I mean, and the second thing is, I think Rudolph should be given a more than just a puncher's chance of winning the job, and if he's going to be re-signed. I hear that they're not.
Well, they say that, but I don't know if it's legit or not, just because they have a lot invested in Pickett, and they want to see Pickett take the next step, and that's why they've brought in all these new offensive guys, starting with Arthur Smith. Thanks, Counselor, for the call. I got to go to a break. Appreciate your input, as always, 412-928-9370. But the first thing it has to fall is Mason Rudolph, what his decision is before it gets to free agency. And that'll happen before the draft, because at some point they're going to have to draft another quarterback, I think, later in the rounds, potentially, if not earlier, depending on how they view things. But, you know, there are some other options out there, and I'm not going to rule any of them out. As Art Rooney told me, he's not ruling anything out. We'll see how it goes and what's available to there. But they need more people in that room, more comp, and more. They need Kenny Pickett to take the next level. And if he doesn't this year, this is it. This is his make or break season, because then you're dealing with, you may have to start the whole process over if it doesn't work that way. So it is big for that point of view. There's no question about it at 412-928-9370. Thank you to PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one Cochran. Shop 24-7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call, and Iron Rock Tap House. If you're in Greensburg, it's a great place to go to watch all the games, including Super Bowl 58 tomorrow. Come see what everyone is talking about at Iron Rock Tap House. We'll continue here with more calls. Lines are open for you right now at 412-928-9370. San Francisco, Kansas City, who do you like and why? Do you have a problem with Devin Hester getting in the Hall of Fame? I saw a lot of people who did. He's the first, you know, pure kick returner who's gotten in this way. We'll debate that, and we'll talk about Myles Garrett, T.J. Watt, Penguins Wild now, Penguins Jets tonight. They need points. All coming up right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We roll along at 412-928-9370. Lines are wide open. Call if you'd like to talk about anything regarding the Super Bowl, the Steelers, Arthur Smith adding on to his staff, and now there seem to be two quarterback coaches. Not sure exactly what's going on there. But, you know, this offseason is going to be a very eventful one for the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they try to do in order to get more points. And that's the thing. Get more points. We've talked about this. Preseason last year looked like they were going to be doing that based on their preseason performance and how good it looked, and all of a sudden things changed as the season began. All right, I want to bring this up because part of Hall of Honors this week, we talked about Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt, all of this other stuff, but they announced their Hall of Fame class of 2024, and one of the guys in it is Devin Hester, and I've seen a lot of people on Twitter here. In fact, a lot of people have hit me up saying, what do you think? Is this, should he be in the Hall of Fame? Well, because he's known as that, as a return man, but I don't know how you can deny his impact on the game. And to me, I'm all for special teams people, you know, kickers, punters, if you're good enough, you know, Ray Guy, you said it, you know, you become a standard. Devin Hester was the best at what he did, you know, so he should be in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. 20 returns for touchdowns. No one else in the history of the game has done that. 20 returns. And that's, you know, he played some wide receiver, but let's not kid anyone. He was a kick return specialist. And that's what he did. He had over 3,300 of receiving, return yards, I should say. Think about that also and look at some of the people who do it today. You're never going to find another Devin Hester. So if you think he doesn't belong, I'm sorry, you're not thinking properly, because he does. And I think special teams is a big part of the game. Therefore, they should be considered all the time. All right. Want to get back to the Penguins a little bit, because they need help. They need scoring. If I had told you at the beginning of the season that the Penguins would be one of the best teams in the NHL in preventing goals, you would have thought that they would be competing for the division championship in a Metropolitan Division. They are one of the best teams in preventing goals. Their goaltending has not been an issue. In fact, it's been a big advantage. And yet here they are struggling, 5 points out of the second wild card. Time is ticking away, and they need points. And they can't do it when you score two goals a night like they did last night. They have to have more contributions from other people. Crosby got his 28th last night on a beautiful setup by Carlson, and it was very interesting to me that he beat Marc-Andre Fleury in getting that goal. But also, outside of him, Riley Smith scored, woohoo. They need more people to score goals. They have not gotten the kind of contributions they need, and if they don't get it, they're going to be in a situation where they're going to be outside of the playoffs once again. This team needs to get in. If they get in and play the way they're capable, I think they can do some positive stuff in the postseason. But getting there is going to be a problem based on how they're playing. And again, there's, 32, 33 games left. They need to start coming up with points. Tonight will be tough. Back-to-backers. You got the Jets, a team they beat last week here in Pittsburgh. But the Jets are good at home. And it'll be Jari against Hellebuck in that game. I'm anxious to watch it the day before the Super Bowl. One other note before I go back to John and Imperial, and that would be The Wasted Management Golf, I call it the Wasted Management. It's one of my bucket list items. I got to get out there and watch it in one of those stands on number 16. But Andrew Novak, a lot of people wonder about how the PGA Tour is going to do without all the big names who've gone to live. The answer is quite well. They have a lot of talented guys. You may not know them yet, but you will. Wyndham Clark won last week at the Pebble Beach. Andrew Novak came in yesterday or Thursday, ranked 307th in the world. He shoots 65-65. He's tied for the lead at 12 under par. Names that you don't know yet, but you will. The PGA Tour is just fine. 412-928-9370. John in Imperial is up right now on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hello, John. How are you?
Bob, how you doing? Hey, first off, I wonder why that podcast you had an idea of doing a podcast in the sauna never took off.
I'm going to make it take off. Don't worry. I'm working on it.
All right. Hey, the reason I was calling is I'm hearing this talk about bringing Russell Wilson in, bringing in another quarter couch or something, and I'm thinking, are they implying that Pickett's not trying hard enough to be good, and they're saying they need someone to push him? I always thought he was a self-motivated, try-hard kind of guy. Why do they think bringing in another quarterback's going to make him
play better?
Well,
they haven't said that. That's all media speculation. Russell Wilson is not coming here. I would bet largely against that. The Justin Fields thing intrigues me only because they're in a position in Chicago where they're going to draft a quarterback, and if they do, they can't have both on there. The only stipulation with him, if you make a trade for him, no matter who it is, you're going to have to pick up his fifth year option at $22 million, and that may be fine if he does what he's capable of doing. As far as Kenny Pickett, he just needs to make better decisions and be more patient in the pocket. If you can teach that to a guy, that's what he needs to be taught. I think he has a lot of talent. I think he's a smart kid. I think he works tirelessly at doing it. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes you need patience with evaluating quarterbacks. But this patience is running out. This is going to be a big year for him.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, for me, when you see him move out of the pocket, there's no way he can go through his progressions when he's constantly moving like he does.
No, it limits your field vision. You can't see the other end of the field when you're running left versus right or whatever. So I think that's going to be the number one thing. But again, Mason Rudolph showed you that he could do that. He stood in there and made plays down the field.
Exactly, which tells you maybe the offense is okay.
Well, we'll see. It's going to be in different hands this year. Yep. All right, John, thank you for the call. Appreciate it at 412-928-9370. Let's go to Tim in Perryopolis. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Hey, Bob, how you doing today?
I'm good. What's up?
Hey, Bob, I enjoy your show. You do a great job.
Appreciate it.
On the T.J. Watt thing, he at least won two or three games for the Steelers. How many games did the guy from Cleveland win?
I didn't watch every one of their games closely. I mean, he's one of the best in the game, but there's a large difference in statistical evidence that T.J. Watt should be the defensive player of the year. If you're going to get into the gray area of pressure rates and who's involved in double teams and triple teams, if you're telling me that T.J. Watt is not being focused on by other offenses as the man to stop on their defense, you're crazy. You're not watching the same game I am, just as Myles Garrett is targeted. But guess what? T.J. Watt fought through that. Not only did he get pressure, he got actual contact. He got actual numbers. Numbers, to me, trump any of these metric myths. You know what I mean?
I totally agree with you, Bob. And real quick, what's your outlook? I hate to say this, but what do you think about the Pirates this year?
I'm optimistic they're going to be better. They made a big jump last year. Tim, thank you for the call. But I think they have some young players. I'm gauging this on young player development. They need it happen quickly. To me, they haven't spent enough in this offseason. They brought in a bunch of 30-some-year-olds, same kind of game plan here. Some may work, some may not. But they need their system to work for them. And they have some very interesting talent, starting with Skeens, but it goes beyond him. They have lefty pitcher who I really like, Salamento. He's a guy who, I don't know if he's capable of being up here by the end of the year, but they have, they need guys in their system to develop. And Tamar Johnson's going to be a good one, it looks like. He's one of the highest-rated position guys in baseball, let alone in the Pirate organization. 412-928-9370, Joe in Verona is up right now. Joe, what's up?
Bob, good morning.
Hey.
Listen, two things, comment on Watts and one on Rooney. Is it true, Starkey said yesterday, that three of those voters did not even have Watt on their ballot? Is that true?
I haven't seen that, but if Joe researched it, I believe his research. I don't know.
said that. He was so upset yesterday. And to hear that would make me sick. But the thing about Rooney is I think him and his dad, Dan, was a little different. I know that Dan had patience with Noel about 4 years in a row. They didn't get to the playoffs in Coward 3 years. But, you know, he said that, well, all the players love Tomlin and they respect him. Well, you know, there's a lot of college coaches and maybe some even head coaches and the pros that are respected and loved by their team. But, you know, after a while, it's results. It's not just average and, you know, just boredom. In other words, he's going to give him 2 more years. That's 3 years. I'm going to be 3 years older, and I'm going to go 10-7, 9-8.
Well, I mean, that's what people think. I will tell you this, Joe, and thanks for the call. I think that Art Rooney is getting impatient. He said so. He's used that word, urgency. I get it. But I also want to go back to a conversation I remember having with the late ambassador, Dan Rooney. This is when there was an interesting debate going on about they had three straight, if I'm not mistaken, three straight sub-500 years. And there was a big little infighting going on between Tom Donahoe and Bill Cowher. And Dan Rooney, remember saying, you know, I believe in what I see and what I see every single day. Bill Cowher is still the right man for the job. I'm going to extend him. And he did. And a lot of people thought that was crazy. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I think that Art looks at that the same way. Is he wrong? Is he right? We'll find out in time. But stability is good. Sometimes it's not so good. In the case of the Steelers, largely over the years, it's been good. We'll see if that pans out for them this year. But I think that's the same logic going into this one. They think they have the right guy. They're trying to bring other people in, more vision, more voices in this room offensively, and we'll see if it matters. We got Tom. We got Stan. Hang on. We're going to talk some Penguins with you guys. You'll be first up when I come back. We got to take a break. I want to remind you that our show is brought to you by PNC Bank, number one, Cochran, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. We have fan weather for you. If you look outside, it's going to be a nice warm day. It's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Check out special financing for qualified buyers on new Silverado and 1500 trucks. Considerable cloudiness, a little rain today, drizzle. The temperature will approach 65 degrees. The record was back in 1959, 65. We'll see if that happens. Tonight, passing shower, low of 35. That's your fan weather. I'm Bob Pompiani. Tom and Oakmont, Stan McCandless, hang on. You're coming up next right here as we continue with Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.